Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Binge and Bass podcast, formerly known as the Freshman 15 podcast, which I just messed up on the intro, but we're back, Colin.
Here we are. I'm back after a second delay, but oh my goodness. What a week, Binge. It's still 100 degrees in Texas, but other than that, how are you doing?
No, it's not. It's 87. It was a pleasant walk here today from the garage. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, it's on its way up there.
Man, are we that boring, Colin? We're already talking about the weather.
We're that boring. They probably turned it off by now, honestly.
People are already tuning out. So here's the thing. Like, working and doing different jobs, like, outside of the Baylor community or even the college community, growing up, I used to give adults such a hard time for, like, the most boring conversation starters ever. Like, the weather or... Yeah, so what does your semester look like this year? Or even like we were talking about last week, like the how was your summer type thing. I used to be like, come on, like let's be more original or more specific. But I don't think you realize like at Baylor or in school, there's a lot of like really niche specific things you can talk about.
Give me one.
Oh my goodness, like what summer camp did you work at? You know, like that type of thing. But when you're out there in the real world, I say the real world in air quotes for anyone not watching. Actually, nobody's watching, so we're not filming, but anyone listening. And it's actually a lot harder when you're not in school to come up with conversation starters with people who you probably don't have as much in common with.
This is true. Now, we're both in sales, right? We learn about it a little bit in the classroom, what it's supposed to look like to kind of form a conversation. But, Benj, how do you start a conversation when you're meeting somebody new for the first time? And maybe it's an awkward encounter. Maybe you're sweating because you just got there from walking outside. But how do you begin to, like, work a conversation with somebody who, you know, you maybe don't have those 1, 2, 3 starters with?
That's a good question. And for me, it's 100% context and authenticity. So I will probably, I think it helps to give someone a genuine compliment. Don't say like nice shoes and they're wearing like ugly flip-flops. Like don't say something like that. But that is a good way to get your foot in the door. Like, hey, I like that. Or you use the context around you. Like what brings you to the event? Or even better yet, a joke. I think that's a great way to make an introduction to someone, and you say something that's like a little bit out of pocket and they're like, wow, this guy keeps it pretty real. So I'd say make a joke, do something like give a compliment that's genuine, or just use something about the context, like make a joke about, you know, other people around you or the event you're at, like make some sort of joke. So I'd say use your context, be authentic. What do you think, man?
No, I love that. Now, before I dive into it, do you have a joke you recently used to kind of like loosen people up?
I'm trying to think. Let me think. I saw, was that you the other day? You were wearing something. I don't know if it was you. Someone had on
about my ugly flip flops.
No, I think I saw someone's shoes. One of our guy friends. I can't even remember who, but I said, "Nice shoes. Do they make them in men's?" But that's because like I already knew the person, right? So
they're mine, but
yeah. So probably not the best example if you're meeting someone for the first time. And I don't know if that was appropriate to share on air or not.
No,
but we just did. So
it's perfect. I think it's great. We kind of started a conversation.
Yeah. Well, give us your tips.
I don't know if I have any better tips than that. I mean, you're the conversation master, never afraid to make anybody laugh. I feel like if I said nice shoes, bro, do they come in men's? I feel like that wouldn't come off as well for me. But I can't agree. I definitely think you got to be authentic. You got to give to somebody, make them comfortable. This morning I was on a kind of an informational interview for a company I'm looking at, and I looked at her LinkedIn and instantly it came up. She said, or she posted about 10 months ago, her dad did an Ironman. And so she brought it up. She's like, oh my gosh, this guy that I know that connected us, he's crazy because he's doing triathlons and he started inspiring me to do them. And then getting those little nuggets that you know behind the scenes. And then I was like, oh, I also saw your dad did one. And she was like, oh my gosh, like that means so
right.
much. You saw that. And that moment was so special.
Yeah.
And just getting to talk about something that's like meaningful to them. I also had a call earlier this week with one of my dad's friends. His name was Scott. And Scott shared that whenever he's in a sales meeting, he always asks whether they're 20 years old or 85 years old, do you have little ones? And sometimes it can be their puppy if they're our age, maybe a little bit older.
Oh,
than they have
versatile
babies.
Question there.
But if it's an 85-year-old, they're still going to refer to their kids who might be 50s or 60s that they have little ones, and that their little ones have little ones now too. And so it almost opens up their heart a little bit to where they start talking about something they care about. And it was really cool. He said that's how he loosened them up in the sales cycle. That's how he can get them just to be like genuine connections and not just there for the meeting they accepted. But also just loosening up the convo a little bit too. So just getting people to talk about what they care about would probably be the only thing I'd add to the things you just shared.
And that helps with context too. Or like if someone has a picture on their desk, or you have like you have the coolest Iron Man poster things in your room. So if someone saw that, 100% ask about it. But I like your point too that you like looked at her profile and saw she posted something a while back. Like let's normalize healthy stalking people for conversation points. Like I see no issue with that at all. I think that's completely normal. And if someone were to do that to me, I'd think, wow, you really cared about the interaction and you wanted to have a conversation with me and like you cared about me. So I do that to other people. They can see like on LinkedIn or whatever if I looked at their profile. I don't see any shame or harm in it. I think it's actually a very mature thing to do, to look for substantial things to talk about with people.
Now, if it's not a business meeting, would you still do that? Do you do that with the dean whenever you get to meet with him? Do you ever like keep up with his personal life?
Well that's because like you're at that point. There's like the existing relationship, right? I'm talking, I think, more so in the context of when you're meeting someone for the first time. And then by that, once you've met them the first time, you're usually following them across the different platforms, so you can see what they post about or what they share with you, and you have that personal relationship.
There you go. I really like that.
Go ahead.
No, you had it.
I was going to say, should we share about our gift to our good friend Julia?
Oh, we're going to have to share. You're going to have to kick us off.
Right. Yeah. So while we're on the topic of conversation starters, talking points, one of our good friends, Julia Smith, is just the conversation master. She asks great questions, has high standards for how people approach conversations. And, you know, she leads by example. She does such a great job of it. But a lot of times she finds herself asking all the questions and, you know, she'd never let it show when you were talking to her. But, you know, it means a lot to anyone that if you ask a lot of questions, you kind of expect people to ask you questions back. So we bought her a pitch clicker, like a baseball pitch counter, that she can use for every question that she asks someone before they ask her a question. And so she carries it around now in her bag, and like she'll just, and someone asks, oh, why are you doing that? She's like, oh, I'm just fidgeting with it. But really she can use it to gamify her conversations because they're so important to her.
That's hilarious. And she does do this thing where she asks almost like, you don't even realize she's asking so many questions, and you look back and you're like, I didn't answer a single thing, and I didn't ask her a single thing. That's like a master sales artist over there on that. She's a speech pathology major, so I mean, there's something about the brain going on and up in her head. But that is a really funny gift that we got her, so we'll see if she gets to use it.
Yeah, I hope she continues to get to use it. But speaking of questions, responses, good questions, good responses, Colin, right after we were on the air last week, you got to participate in a panel and share some advice with the class of, what class are we in now? Class of 2027, freshmen?
Oh, man.
How old are we? I don't know.
We're 24. They're going to be 27.
Oh, my goodness. That makes you feel old. But anyway, you had some wisdom to share with them. How was that?
Oh, man, it was super cool. So rewinding back to last week, Benj is the president of the business school here at Baylor, and he had the opportunity to share just a little bit about, like, real goal was to share about faith and life in the business school. And the dean of the business school kind of took that and ran with it and partnered it with failure. And it was a really cool event. I got to be up there with the accounting professor, the chaplain of the business school, along with the dean himself, Dean Mazumder, and also Emilise Donovan. So it was a great time to be in front of those freshmen and just share like the mistakes we've made over college, our best advice to if we were to go back in their place. And I think the biggest thing that we talked about was just like not being afraid to really be who you want to be. That wasn't exactly said, but that was sort of the theme. Like if you have an ambition, get after it. Don't just say yes to everything because you can, but really follow your dreams, follow your goals, understand who you are and who you're becoming, and point yourself in that direction to see what's next. And Ben did a fabulous job moderating that event.
I appreciate that, man.
And yeah, he was able to get the dean to laugh, but also to get every student in that room to at least chuckle a little bit. And I saw a lot of engagement from the crowd too. So great job there, Ben. Quite an event.
We had an all-star squad of panelists. Everyone was, you know, pretty vulnerable, transparent about a topic that certainly resonates with that whole audience. But I think everyone shared like really specific stories and pieces of advice from their own failure? Because how many times do you go to a panel and you walk out with the same three cliches? There's no tangible action item. Like, how often does that happen, right? So I really appreciated everyone's candor, everyone's specificity, and I was just really happy with how it went. And we had a tremendous supporting cast there. And you I think you even had a few lines like, my biggest regret of... You said that at one point, my biggest regret of college. What was that?
Oh, the biggest regret of college... It's terrible to admit this to all of you, but it was
clickbait.
Yeah. Biggest regret of college was not going to the Big 12 championship.
That's right.
So I could do my accounting homework.
Yeah. You're not going to live that one down. I had another seat in the car. You had all year to do that.
Yeah, I did. And my defense, not the biggest football guy, but I love a good game. And I was like, oh, we're going to lose, like, no chance. And it's probably the most memorable Big 12 championship in all of history. And not just saying that because I'm a Baylor grad, but, like, the buzzer beater, like, block at the end, like, absolutely insane. I think that it kind of just goes to show you, like, school's important, but the things you're going to regret are never going to be the things in the classroom. Unless maybe you fail. But if you're taking care of business, it's okay to go have some fun and maybe even get a little behind. But I did not do that, and that'll be my forever biggest regret of college, hopefully.
I get it. It was fun. I was there. You missed out. But if that's the biggest thing you regret, I think you're probably doing it right. You're making the most of it. Kind of like we did this past, when was that? Past Wednesday, when we were out there on the ropes course, Colin?
Yeah, okay. Just before we dive into this, I got to give Benj a transitions today. He's been jumping from topic to topic and has sewn this together like a master, like, seamstress over here.
Man.
So, man, just bringing it all back. The ropes course, that was one heck of a freaking event earlier this week. Benj and I, you know, we're friends on the ground. We're roommates. We're friends on the second floor. But very rarely do we get up in the trees.
Where is this going?
Do we get up in the trees to be just tied in barely and have to rely on our trust in the trees?
Oh, my gosh.
I got a little nervous up there. I think we're on the same page up there, definitely shaking and quaking there. But it was so much fun to be just, I don't know, how far, like maybe 20, 30 feet up?
I think we were 30 feet in the air, and you climb all the way to the top of the small, like, wooden plank platform, like no bigger than the desk we're on in here. And
oh,
you're
definitely smaller.
You're up in the air. You're kind of wobbling a little bit, so... I go up to the platform first. Colin is climbing, and as he's climbing, I'm like, I can't fall. And I climbed up there first, and I thought, okay, like, I'll, you know, that's fine. And then I realized standing up there, I had like a whole minute to think about it. But the funny,
and all your friends looking at
right, everything. Yeah, and all your friends at the bottom looking, like, also helping support the rope. You're like, so like when you go up there, it's almost like this feeling of, well, I can't let them down. And there's also like the idea of like, you've already burned the boats because you're not going to be able to climb back down the platform. And honestly, it's a lot more dangerous to try to climb back down the platform than actually jumping on the ropes course like you're supposed to. So there was a swing. The premise is you jump off the platform in the air and then grab the swing that's probably like, I don't know, 15 feet out in front of you horizontally. It felt very far away even when you're that high up. And Colin's like, okay, we're going to count to three. And I was like, as much as I don't want to do this, I can't let him down. And it was just a really cool thing I think we'll remember forever. And, like, you jumped, you got it with both hands, and then, like, I missed with one hand, but I held on with the other. And then we were, you know, doing pull-ups.
This guy can't
be stopped. We're doing pull-ups on this hanging swing, like, 30 feet in the air. It was an awesome moment. But I don't know. I thought it was cool because, like, when you're in the moment and you're surrounded by everyone, it's almost like this sense of, I can't let people down. I've burned the boats. Like, I can't turn around now. Or even the other day when I'm like, I can't remember the last time I went on a run, which is horrible. And I think there's probably like five episodes where I've talked about how I plan to do that more. But you're like, okay, we'll go 2 miles. I was like, I'm not in shape to do this, but I'm not going to let Colin down. He's going to run a marathon on every continent. Like, if I can't even go 2 miles with him, who am I? You know, and it's like, it's not like this negative peer pressure, but like this, hey, like, we're holding each other accountable and I'm not going to let you down. I thought that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. And I definitely agree with that. Like, being up there was so scary, but you're surrounded by other people and you just can't see. You won't, like you said, coming back down would be so rough. It's not even possible.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good analogy for life, too. Like, there's points where we get where we're like, hey, this next step is too much. or it's way out of my comfort zone, but you can't let anybody down. And not that it's the negative peer pressure, but almost positive of like, here we are coming towards the end of college, everything's coming together. The last thing I want to do is like let everybody down and go do my own thing and not go to the direction that I'm meant to become because I'm scared of what that next step might entail. And I think that it's an exciting time, but it's also a little scary to be close to the end here. And I think that it kind of comes back to that same idea of like not burning the boats and just absolutely sending it. So Ben, as we wrap up here, what would be your piece of advice from our conversation today to share with everybody?
Right. Well, I say climb to the top. Don't look down because that gets a little bit scarier. But also know that once you make that climb, it's really hard to turn around. And once you've already made it up there, just go ahead and take the jump and channel that, like we talked about, almost the peer pressure to do the right thing. We talk about what a powerful tool that peer pressure is, and certainly in a negative sense. And that's, there's temptations, there's difficult things associated with peer pressure. But almost think about peer encouragement. And when you're surrounded by other people who are important to you, who are counting on you, use that as motivation not to let them down. Don't look down, just make the jump. I think that's what I'd end with, Colin.
Man, just make the jump. Sounds like we got our title for the day. And that's it. I mean, what a great way to wrap up the week here, Benj.
Man, well, hey, first football game this Saturday, and it's going to be a good one, but speaking of good ones, I messed up the segue. We were doing so good. That was so
forced.
That was, I should have quit while I'm ahead, but I'm just going to quit the episode now. We will see you next week.
Just make the jump.
Amen, brother.